Welcome back to our study of Luke. We are in chapter 11, and we are at verse 23. Let's read this together again. Anyone who is not with me is against me, and anyone who does not gather with me scatters. We've been talking about that and thinking, and I've been pondering on that for a little bit. And it really is, what's interesting is when you go and you look in the Greek, it means exactly what it says. And so the message that's being conveyed here is that is if you're not working with me, you're working against me. There's no middle ground here. And that's a dangerous place to be, to work against the Lord. It's just dangerous when you think about it. And I hope it gives you pause. It gives me pause to think about. But you know, he said, and we've read earlier, if you're not with me, if you're not for me, you're against me. It's the same principle here. And so you combine that with the fact that Jesus was not lukewarm. He is not lukewarm. But so often, those that claim to follow him, well, we can misrepresent by being lukewarm, if you will. And I think about those that are lukewarm. Have you ever met somebody, and we alluded to this in the first teaching, who knows all the church lingo, who knows all the right words, what to say, when to say, how to say it, but the character is so far from the one that we claim to follow? Well, that person's scattering. They're not gathering. You know, you think about even just the principle of magnets. You know how you can have a positive and a negative, and I'm getting into some uncomfortable territory here with science. But have you ever seen how a magnet, when it's not working the way it should, it actually scatters. It does. It repels. Well, when we are not with the Lord, when we're not following his word and following his spirit, that's what's happening. It's like that magnet that's just scattered. If that makes any sense. Do y'all have an image of that, what I'm talking about?
You know, I think in two different directions here. But let me start with this. My grandparents were farmers.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you hook up one mule or one horse. But if you have a heavier load, you may hook up a team, two mules or two horses. Okay. What if you get one of those that's not pulling? Then it's actually a hindrance to the other. The other could do better if that's not there.
Yeah.
You with me? We call it dead weight.
Hmm.
Dead weight is weight that's not producing. Okay. Now, the other thing is thinking about this, we were talking about it right before we came out here, New Era Church, mm-hmm. and the Status Quo Church. And this is my dilemma personally. I know what God spoke to me. And I know what the truth is. Okay? The problem is most people won't listen to it. And so it's not that you're not just not going in that direction, but there's a scattering,
yeah,
by those who don't listen because they're talking. they're over here in their circle, and they say that, well, I think we should do this, and I believe it's like this, and I believe it's like that. That's scattering. You understand? When you're not, when you're just giving your opinion is dangerous. And then you're better off just to keep that to yourself. But when you're giving your opinion, you're getting in the way of God. God has never asked me for my opinion. He doesn't need it. He knows what's right. You understand? And God has not called anybody to be his counselor. And it is amazing that how many people that call themselves Christians want to advise God. When God says, do this, no, I think we should do it this way. And this has been my experience in ministry for all these years. And it's been like an uphill battle. And I'm not looking for sympathy, so don't even go there with me, okay? What I'm telling you is so sad that people won't cooperate with God. And I'm talking about pastors. And I'm talking about church members. Whatever. They won't cooperate with God. Nations won't cooperate with God. And so what happens? You start scattering. It brings a division. And it, going back to what we said before the break, God rules only two ways. And that's the Word and the Spirit. Truth can come to you only two ways. Word and Spirit. There's no other way. You understand? Well, I'm talking about absolute truth. The truth of God can only come through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So if you're doing it any other way, you're scattering. And God's been trying to gather and saying, that's past. That's old. That's not my way. This is my way. This is the way. Walk in it. Well, I don't like that way. And people think they have a better idea than God, not understanding that we're actually in opposition with God. You can stand up and preach and be in opposition to God when you don't preach the truth. Or if you're not saying what the Spirit of God has instructed you to say, then you're working against God. I'm telling you, when you stand to preach or teach, there is awesome responsibility that goes with that. Because there's an accountability that follows that. It's not how good did the message sound. Did I say what God said? You understand? Just because somebody pats you on the back and says that's a good message doesn't mean that God approved of it. Did you obey God? If you didn't obey God, you're working against God. And that's what happens in so many cases. I'll just put it that way. Is divided house. This is why the kingdom of God being established in earth has been greatly hindered by the church, because it won't agree with God. You understand? So God is calling out people who'll agree with him, people who'll gather with him. That's the only way the kingdom of God can be established. You with me? We have to be in total agreement with God. And I've had to learn over the years that what I think doesn't matter. It's what God thinks that matters. And I can tell you that I've had to do a lot of things that I did not want to do and preach messages I did not want to preach. But who do you fear more, God or the people? If you fear God, you're going to cooperate with God. If you're going to listen to the people, you're going to work against God. That's what happened to Saul. That's what cost him the kingdom. You understand? God said, utterly destroy. The people said, let's keep this stuff out. This would make good sacrifices for God. That sounds good. We're going to keep these the best animals. We're going to sacrifice to God. And it's a stench in his nostrils because you didn't obey. And God said, I'll take the kingdom from you. I'm not interested in sacrifices. That's not what it's about. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so we have to learn to cooperate with the Word, whether it's the written Word or the spoken Word of God that's spoken by the Holy Spirit. We have to cooperate with both of those, and if we're not cooperating, we're scattering. And when you go out second-guessing what God said, then you put yourself in opposition to God. Dangerous place to be.
Verse 24. When an unclean spirit comes out of a man, it roams through waterless places looking for rest. And not finding rest, it then says, I'll go back to my house where I came from. And returning, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and settle down there. As a result, the man's last condition is worse than the first. Now, this is just on the heels of him having driven out a demon from a man.
The 11th chapter started with casting the devil out. So don't lose your context. Don't lose your context, okay? And so when it comes here, it says when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, it's going through dry places. In other words, a spirit is wanting a body that it can occupy so it can manifest itself. The spirit can't manifest itself in earth without a body. And so he's going through what's called dry places. And so he comes back to the house that came out of. Now, this is what interests me. Is the house is swept. It's decorated.
Mm-hmm.
Looks good. But it's empty. If it was occupied, it wouldn't be able to get back in. And so often people just get freed from the devil and they don't get the Spirit of God on the inside of them. They can decorate. They can look good. Do you understand? They can clean that place up to where the outward appearance, you know, is acceptable to people. But if it's empty, then you're wide open. And in this case, he says he comes back with seven more. If you haven't done something to that house and filled that house, then he'll come back. The last state's worse than the first. That's why I'm very cautious with dealing with people. I want to make sure that it's not just getting delivered, but getting delivered from the devil, or getting yourself submitted to God by getting the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You follow me? The devil will come back. But if it's no vacancy, he can't get in. You follow me? And so this is what he's actually referring to here. And if you don't fill it up, you're going to be worse off. Okay? I've heard a lot of stories along the way. And people would have been better off if they'd have left them alone. Because they didn't follow through. That's why we're very adamant on discipling. You have to have converts in order to get disciples. I'm very much aware of that. But just to get a convert and talk about how many people got saved in your service and nobody discipling that person, did you do them a favor? You understand? Or if you set them up to get beaten up more severely than they were in the past. And so we have to follow through. That's why we have to appreciate all the ministry gifts. Get people born again, but get them full of the Holy Spirit. You know, if something is, if you have something that's full, like a full container, it won't hold anymore. And he tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? So you can't be filled with any other kind of spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, no other kind of spirit gets in. And so people that are afraid of the devil are telling me something. There's place. You with me? It's not good enough to clean it up, fill it up. Okay?
Verse 27. As he was saying these things, a woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "The womb that bore you and the one who nursed you are blessed." He said, "Even more, those who hear the word of God and keep it are blessed." Now, I'm thinking on that today, and you remember we just read not too long ago in chapter 8, verse 21, where he said, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear and do the word of God, who are part of the family." So he's talking here, you see the contrast between the natural and the spiritual, is what I see. Natural birth is far different from spiritual birth. Which one is better? I know you have to have the natural to get to the spiritual. But that's what I see here.
You know, this person, you know, blessed is the woman that bore you, nursed you.
Yeah.
Putting the emphasis on the natural, right? What is Jesus' response to that? Blessed is the person who's not just a hearer of the word, but a doer.
Yeah.
The person's blessed not because I grew up in their house. The person is blessed because they know the will of God and they do the will of God. That's the blessed person. And I'm telling you, there have been so many messages and so many things promoting the God bless me, God bless me, God bless me, the favor of God and all this type stuff. You do the will of God, you've got the favor of God. You don't have to ask, you never have to ask God for his favor. Do his will. The favor of God is dealing with your heart and you getting born again. He showed you favor then. Now he's wanting us to follow the will of God. So do you want to be blessed? You determine that, not God, by what you do. If I want God to bless me, then all I have to do is what God's told me to do. What did he tell Joshua? Don't let the word stop coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Meditate on it day and night. Then put it into practice. And then the understood subject is you will make your way prosperous and you will make right decisions that will lead you to success. You do it. How do you do it? By obedience. But you can't do the will of God if you don't know the will of God. You can't be led by the Spirit if you don't listen to the Spirit. You follow me? Okay.
Verse 29, as the crowds were increasing, he began saying, "This generation is an evil generation. It demands a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And look, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at Jonah's proclamation. And look, something greater than Jonah is here.
This is so profound when you think about it. When you talk about wisdom, most people in the church, well, you know, the wisest man was Solomon. No, he wasn't. That was prior to Jesus. Solomon's wisdom did not compare to Jesus' wisdom.
Yeah.
You can't compare the wisdom of man to the wisdom of God. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Solomon was a very wise man. And people came to him, not only the Queen of the South, but other kings would come to him for counsel and would follow his counsel. But isn't it interesting how few people come to God for counsel and even fewer follow the counsel?
Yeah.
You know, over the years of ministry, in working with people and people coming talking to you, very few people follow the counsel. Now, if you come to me for counsel, I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. It's just as simple as that. I'm not going to give you my opinion, and we're certainly not going to be talking about Sigmund Freud. Okay? We're just going to tell you what the Son of God says.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so amazing, if people won't follow it. They won't follow it. That's what gets you out of your mess, is taking wise counsel. They'd rather go and pay megabucks to some professional counselor that's going to give them worldly counsel than to go to God and get the counsel of God. If you get in here and read, you get wisdom. You understand? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. There's a difference between knowledge and information. I'm talking about the true knowledge of God. You can be filled with information that'll take you to hell. You understand? You can be considered by many one of the most intellectual people in the world and be one of the most stupid people because you don't fear God. You follow me? And so we can look at that and say, well, they didn't accept Jesus. Let me ask you this. Are you accepting this? Then don't you blame them for rejecting Jesus if you're rejecting this.
Mm.
Are you hanging out with this? Is this getting into you? Do you stay with us enough to where the Word gets in you? Now, this is the thing about people that follow Jesus. It was only a select few that the Word actually got into. To where they learned the principles of the kingdom, to where they learned mysteries of the kingdom of God. Jesus would take his disciples all privately and reveal these things. The others are just coming for food and healing and whatever. What can you do for me? The disciple is not in it for what you can do for him. He's in it to learn how he's supposed to be so he can do right by you. I want to do right by God. You understand? And so I want to hang out with God so I know what to do. Not looking for a handout. You follow all that?
Mm.
Okay. Jesus is here in His Word. Jesus is here by His Spirit. Are we going to Him for wisdom? Are we going to Him for understanding? Or do we get on the phone and call people and ask what they think about this? What do you think about that? I have people constantly saying, I'd like your opinion. I said, you don't want my opinion. What you need to know is what God says. You don't need the opinion of man. You need to know what God says. My opinion is no better than yours. But I assure you one thing, the truth of God's Word is what every one of us needs. And so we're going to have to learn to talk the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And stop the gossip. You understand? Talk the word. Then you'll be talking the wisdom of God. You'll be functioning with the wisdom of God. I don't engage in a lot of private conversation. And I'm labeled because of all that. But I'm not interested in it. I'm not interested in something that's not going to help me grow. I want conversation to take me toward God, not away from God. Now, that doesn't mean you can't talk about natural things that if you need a grocery list, you understand. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about idle talk. You just talk the talk, and it's not producing a thing. Well, so-and-so had this problem today, and this. Let me ask you this. Is there anything you can do about it? No? Then why are you talking about it? If you can't do something about it, then all you're doing is opening a door for the devil. You're saying words that's not going to produce anything, and you get yourself all worked up. You get yourself mad at this person or that person, and it's none of your business. That's the amazing thing about it, how people get upset over things that's none of their business. At the counsel of God, make this your business. Amen? Okay, you better go on so I get some meddling here or whatever.
Verse 33. No one lights a lamp and puts it in the cellar or under a basket, but on a lampstand, so that those who come in may see its light. Your eye is the lamp of the body. When your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Take care, then, that the light in you is not darkness. If, therefore, your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be entirely illuminated, as when a lamp shines its light on you.
Now, think about it this way. We know from Proverbs, I think it's 20:27, says the spirit of man is the counsel of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Psalm 18, I believe it is, says, you, Lord, will light my candle. Okay? So when we're talking about light, a candle in and of itself is not light.
Yeah.
I mean, they store them in cardboard boxes.
That's right.
It's still a candle, but it's not given illumination. The Lord lights the candle. The Lord gives a true illumination. Now, the world, this is paradoxical, okay, but just humor me. The world will illuminate you with darkness. The only true light comes from God. And so when he says, when a person's candle's lit, it's not to hide. When God reveals things to you, it's not for you to keep secret. When God has given revelation to you, then you share that revelation with others, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You with me? Now, if God says don't say anything, then don't say anything.
Yeah.
But just generally speaking, when God illuminates you, it's for the benefit of others as well, so they can enjoy that light. They can be illuminated as well. You don't hide Jesus. And I'm telling you, the church has been hiding him, not even using his name.
Yeah.
No. You expose him so others can benefit by the illumination. Now, he uses a physical analogy here, talking about the physical body and the eyesight. So if the eye's diseased, it affects what the body's seeing. You understand? And I mean, if you think about a person totally blind, then what are they seeing? No, you will have to describe things to them. And so they're at your mercy. Did you give a good description? In other words, they're going to form an opinion out of darkness. Religion illuminates with darkness. And people have based their eternal life, perpetual life, a better way of saying it, of darkness. And there's a moment of truth. There's a day of reality when you find I was told wrong. Well, why didn't you research it yourself? You have the Bible. All you have to do is call on me. People would rather call a person than to call on God. And you're going to get the truth from God if you'll stay around long enough to listen. You with me? And so he's using that diseased eye that's affecting the illumination that's going into the body. And then he says, you know, it's a horrible thing if the light in you is darkness. And I dare say that a large portion of regular church attenders' light is darkness. It's not truth. I know from experience. Growing up in church and walking in darkness. And when light came, that blew me away. And when I started looking at it to see if it's really true, when I found out it was true, I thought, is everything they taught me a lie? No, it wasn't. But it was a lot of darkness to it. You follow me? And so when the illumination came, I was letting my light shine. And people were trying to put it out. Because truth challenges error.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how dogmatic people are in darkness. They get a belief, and you're not going to change that belief for nothing. Well, I have the right to believe what I believe. And my reply to that is you have the right to be wrong. You understand? God's never wrong. And so we go to the Word. This is the illumination. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was, listen, life. That's first.
Yeah.
You can't have illumination without life. And the life was the light of men. And so until you receive the life of God on the inside of you, your illumination is darkness.
Yeah.
You understand? Because only life can give you true light. And so this is what Jesus is dealing with here in the parable. He's dealing with religious people here. You're full of darkness. The illumination you have, you're doctors of the law. I mean, you're theologians. You've got the degrees. You're professors in the college. You interpret the Word of God in darkness. And so in reality, it's misinterpretation. You understand?
Yeah.
You be cautious who you subject yourself to and what you're letting come inside you. People may be illuminating you with darkness. And if they're not giving you the truth of God's Word, I'll promise you it's darkness. Because this is the true light that lights every man. It's the only true light. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with that in mind, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. But before he left, he said, you're the light of the world. I came in the world to tell them the truth. I'm leaving you in the world to tell them the truth. But you can't tell the truth if you don't know the truth. You understand? You can repeat what somebody's told you. And there's a lot of parrots out there. A lot of echoes. You have to know it personally. To where the illumination comes to you personally, we call that revelation. My revelation to you is just information. But when the Spirit of God takes that and illuminates it, now there's a persuasion, a convincing on the inside of you. It's not what Pete said now. This is what God says. And that's where He wants to take us. To where we're not walking in darkness. To where our spiritual eyes aren't diseased. Now do you understand why Paul prayed that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened? Mm-hmm. And so that they could be filled with the knowledge of God, with God's will, with all wisdom and understanding that would enable them to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing the Lord. You can't do it if your eyes are diseased. Your spiritual eyes are diseased. You won't see clearly to do the will of God. And so he prayed that the eyes of the understanding be enlightened. That's not a bad thing to pray over yourself. Yeah. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've prayed it over the church a lot. I want us to see clearly, accurately, so we know truth. Amen. Time's up, so we better stop there. You got this marked on which verse we're going to
start? Yes, sir. We'll start at verse 37.
Okay. A little inside joke there. It took her three times to tell me to give me the right reference today.
Third time's the charm.
I got the first message. I thought, that's where we started last week. Then I got the next one, and I thought,
No,
I don't know which chapter we read. And then later on, I get the truth.
That's it.
But I got the truth.
You got the truth.
That's the main thing, right?
It is. I have one thing to say real quick before we wrap up, and then I'd like to tell you about Ellen.
Well, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hands are with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you be before you. Amen.
Amen.